agenda é, today, we need to be business-like. Hoping that you have enjoyed your weekend. The agenda is in front of us. Can somebody add or approve the agenda? Thank you.
Good morning, thank you. Morning members, morning staff, morning chairperson. I propose we adopt the agenda as is. Thank you.
And you second that, honorable.
Right. I second the proposal.
Okay. Honorable members, as you are proposed and seconded the agenda, point number one, you didn't say that it must be at the end. Let's consider our minutes, but first and foremost, may I have an official apology about Sune. She is sick, of sick, and then Miss Jaya Pet is in for Sune. On my left hand side is Miss Jaya Pet. We are welcoming you to this committee of ours. Let's take the minutes. I'm sorry, I didn't read the minutes because I'm just getting them now. Can you go to page one? I'm giving you chance to read page one, and if you have finished and you've got nothing to correct, let's go to page two. Because I don't know whether you did get the minutes. For me, this is the first time that I'm seeing the minutes, so that's why I'm taking a little bit. May we pass to page two? If there's nothing that you want to correct, let's go to page three. got something in page 3. I'm suspecting that it's not a true reflection of what I've said when I was talking about Boxing South Africa. If you still remember, I even said Boxing South Africa, they were with us. And we're not surprised that we're getting such a report, because they were saying, let's give them the chance. They are a new board and they are promising. And I've said, we did agree, but we've said, let's give them time frames, not an open end, in order that they must change the situation. If you still remember what I've concluded on the debate of the Boxing South Africa. So I'm suspecting that I can't understand the minutes. They are not the true reflection of what I've said. Maybe we'll correct that. I'm making a correction on that, because I even said we know that the Boxing South Africa, they are not doing well, and in turn the boxers, they are suffering. But whilst the Boxing South Africa, they were presenting to us as a committee, we have agreed that let's see them changing the situation, because today they do have this one and firing this one, the other one firing, and we've said we give them a chance in order that they must make that Boxing South Africa accountable. And as a new board, we are lenient, but with time frames. So this is not what I've said. I wanted that when they are writing, they must say everything that we've said, because we didn't just criticize the Boxing as if they didn't come and brief us. And I even said, we're not surprised when AG is giving his bad reflection about them. So Udebo is here, will correct this line. Thank you. Any corrections? It's a bit long page. Page 5. page 6. Church, Honorable Manana. Six.
Yes. Then, Chaplain, on page 6, paragraph 5. I don't know if maybe it's just that I don't understand it well on this sentence. The only thing, sentence number 4 on the paragraph 5. Sentence number 4. The only thing FRSA could do was not transfer the next time. I don't understand it. So. Doesn't.
Can you read the whole paragraph? Can you take us through the whole paragraph?
Okay. Mr. Mr. Mwim said that the Northwest Premier had been creating new departments and that it was important that the NFRP were not compromised. One of the issues was collection of debts. Provinces had not been surrendering the money in terms of the act. Provincial treasuries were responsible for ensuring the money was retained. The only thing SRSA could do was not transfer the next time. And
because who contact advisor who have asked him to assist in the on editing of minutes, he's not noticing that there is something wrong.
Correct
it.
Not to transfer.
We'll go to page 7. Do you want to correct what we have said?
Yeah.
If you can assist us.
So basically from 2 million and the sentence was changed to and 10 million, which was transferred from one program to another about the treasury regulation that we should end there.
Respecting who table is taking note of that. Any other? Honorable Strike?
No, the first paragraph there.
Page 7.
Saying that the person responsible for support was attended to the streets where they not where they where they.
Thank you. Anything in page 7? I'm suspecting that Udebo is noting that he must take care of the role that we have asked him, asked friendly, that he must assist in editing the minutes with the SMEC in order that we must not just take long. It was a long day and discussions were very deep, so something who's writing minutes can have these mistakes. We need somebody to edit the minutes. She's not that bad in writing minutes, but if can have somebody to assist in editing the minutes, but we're just doing our own arrangement to ask Debo to assist. Page 8.
quickly went through the BRRR, and members have since made inputs on the document. Perhaps then, based on the inputs that we received last week, looking into how they have been infused into those documents, we'll go through it just so it captures precisely what the wishes of the committee are with regard to the budget recommendations for the Department of Sports and its entities. And so I would take members also page by page in this document, and then we can then include the recommendations. I'm sure members would have received the document last week already, the one that we looked at, and perhaps if there are other new things that would be added, could be added today before we adopt the report. Let's look at from page one, which explains the mandate of the committee. Page two. Looks precisely at the strategic plans that were presented this earlier in the fifth parliament, and the annual performance plan, how the department is intending from now to 2019 going to spend its budget and in what programs and so on. So the analysis and was done earlier in the year. Page 6. Now, when we look at page 7 on the key developments in the organization and service delivery environment, we look precisely at the outcome, the strategic goals that the department had envisaged to achieve. And so those strategic goals that we saw on page 4, we look at them page by page to see in the previous year how they have done, in this year what they promised to do, and how they intend to then achieve those strategic goals into the next 5 years. So starting with goal one there on page 7, we divided it into 3 years, previous to 2013, 2014, 2015. That's where we were talking about what the department achieved in creating activities, and with the increase of 38 more people who were given an opportunity last year, and at the end of this current financial year, 2014-2015, they intend to increase the number to 27,000. So it speaks largely to that versus the budget that has been provided. Page 8. Same approach on page 8, number of to achieve this goal of transformation on the sports and relations sector, with 80% of recognized federations meeting the transformation targets. So we know that the department funds federation precisely based on their achievement of the grant framework that they have set with the federations. And so last year there was a target of 60, and they managed to achieve to assist 68 federations. It means there were 8 more federations that managed to be assisted and who met that criteria that the department has set. And so even this year they have set the target at 60, including in 2015, 2016 at 60. And with that goes also the budget that would assist the federations to achieve those goals. So this is how it's been put. Page 9. You'd recall that when it comes to athlete support, the department has stopped with a program of the athlete support program they have introduced. The ministerial sports bursary program. Hence, you will not find any result from the 2013-2014, but you will see the target from 2014-2015 and moving forward. And that is the situation. I must indicate that on 2013-2014, the DG had indicated that in the ministerial sports bursary last year, they managed to assist 28. So that is the figure that I must just add on that table, 28 athletes that were assisted. Mm-hmm.
On the paragraph immediately below the figures, the last sentence, it looks like it's an incomplete sentence. The old program of residential blah, blah, blah. Then from the old program were supported, and in the 2014-2015 financial year, we're not missing a verb there. Or should the sentence be reconstructed?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Alright, on goal number 4.
You have got that, and what I'm saying, what are you correcting?
Just the sentence.
Completed.
Yeah. What would come there is that from the last sentence, during the 2012-2013, 90 athletes were assisted from the old program, and in the 2014-2015 financial year, 40 athletes in the ministerial sports bursary program would be supported. Page 9 on goal number 4 at the bottom, develop the enabling mechanism to support the delivery of sport. Going into page 5. Empowered and fair inclusive society, including social cohesion, are all kept chart into this program, into this goal, strategic goal. Page 11, strategic goal number 6, implement internal processes and procedure to ensure that SRSA annually receives an unqualified audit. Because we look at it from what, how they performed last year and what were the matters of emphasis, what was the outcomes of the audit this year, as we've seen that it was a clean audit, and then what then should the department do to improve or to maintain the status going forward. Mr. Lechman?
Sorry, if I can just take this back to the page before, because I thought I'd leave it for the recommendation. But in terms of the sports trust, is there a way in which we could just speak to it being, you know, I will put it under the recommendation, and you half captured it under the recommendation. Is there a way that we could prioritize the, you know, there was a site visit to one of the facilities, but the actual oversight of the sports trust, you know, there's a, it's a conduit that receives money, that spends money, and it actually doesn't have anyone watching. It doesn't have anywhere to account or not to account, and I just don't think we should create a precedent where different departments can create these trusts and they're not accounted for anywhere. So maybe it's worth also making mention in the report then that in a bland way, not, you know, not make it a critical or not point fingers, but mention that this committee should focus on focus on the oversight of the actual mechanism of the trust.
Thank you, Mr. Bachman. We do officially conduct oversight over the sports trust. Annually they come when they need to arise also. Also depending on the pressing issues, members can call them to come. However, I think as part of the observation, one would note it there to say the operations of the sports trust also ought to be emphasized as an observation that we can put there. Thank you very much. Members also agree to that?
Sure, fine.
Page 12. The continuation of strategic objective number 6 when it comes to internal processes and procedure. I'm sure members would have said a lot last week regarding GSA and SAID kind of situation. So we've tried to capture the matters of emphasis regarding the operations, particularly the Auditor General's matters of emphasis. Page 13. Page 14. Now, when it comes to page 14, an overview and an assessment of financial and service delivery performance, this largely has to do with the current report, how the department has performed in the current report, and what are the notable changes regarding the departmental programs. You'd see that the table that is presented there before is the one that includes the currently adopted programs of the department, the changes that the department has infused, which are aligning to the National Sports and Recreation Plan. The names thereof, and what we have noted in this report then, is how this new APP has been funded, what are the changes in funding and what are the changes in the programs and all the sub-programs that have taken place. So So when you look there on page 14, it speaks to the current plans in the strategic plan. Page 15 outlines changes that have been effected intra and inter programs, including name changes in the programs. What are the notable changes? What is of note today is on paragraph 3 of page 15, on page 1, on program 1, number of programs have they're down with 1, from 7 to 6 programs, and there's now an establishment now of 2 DDGs office, one dealing with corporate, previously corporate DDG on corporate affairs, and the other one dealing with the DDG of Sports and Recreation Service. You'd recall that the structure of the department only has the DG and the CEO who serves the function of a DDG, the COO, sorry. And so that in the new program has been split into 2, Sports and Recreation and the Corporate Affairs DDG. So that's the new structure. And programs have then been moved around vaccination on this page, going into page 16. And on page 16, I think what was of emphasis was the amount of vacancies that are now in existence. One, as a result of the historic accumulation of posts that are vacant, but also as a result of the creation of a new structure, which has expanded the number of vacant posts. There's currently 77 vacant posts that the department has. And this information also emerged in the report as a result of the presentation. Page 17.
On that table, I don't understand it. What does it mean? Whether if it says medium expenditure, it says it's telling what they have spent up to so far, or it's an indication that they shall have spent like this at the end of the financial year.
The table then on page 14. Is that one?
I'm in page 17.
Oh, page 17.
Yeah.
Oh yes, the table on page 14, it gives on page 17 gives us and this are from the previous reports, what was the expenditure on the previous 2 years. 2011-2012 to 2012-2013, and the middle table should also read an expenditure, because this is what has been money that has been spent, not appropriated, it's accounted for now. For 2013-2014, we've got the report of what is the expenditure in this financial year. What is an estimate is what has been proposed for 2014-2015 and 2016-2017. So what you see on for 2013-2014 should not read adjusted appropriation, but should read an expenditure. Thanks. Page 18. From page 18 now, we look precisely in the current report, 2013-2014, how has the department performed in each of those programs, and you'll see that the names of the programs still resemble the names of the program before the changes were effected. On page 18, of course, one thing to note on page 18, the second paragraph is the variances that we are speaking about. I think that's what Mr. Manasseh was referring to, of the monies that have been shifted from one program to another. The DG did explain last week that the changes were effected because, one, they could not get the accommodation that they wanted, and therefore they brought the money, transferred the money back to Treasury, including the budget that they had planned to spend for that particular project had to also be shifted to other programs. And the others is because of posts that have been filled for compensation of employees who have been shifted, if you look at the first paragraph there. Page 19, sports support services. This is a program that dealt with the transfers to the federations. And the other entities, including SASCOC, what is notable in this, you'll also see in the observations and recommendations, is that for the amount of money that SASCOC was provided, no report was provided, or there was no, SASCOC has not accounted for that money with the department. So that is one of the observations. And the money that were transferred for the LOC to host 10 are also reflected. Transferred additional monies that were given to certain federations like SAFA, SARU, the Sports Trust, and SASCOC are also reflected there, that over and above what they were given, there was an additional money that also was transferred. Mr. Fulton.
Thank you, sir. On paragraph, on the second paragraph, right at the end, and program 2, on page 19, the DG should provide a report regarding the intervention to follow up on this matter. By when is the DG supposed to provide the report?
Mr. Fulton, you see when you go to page 37, there are a list of things that should be followed up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Page 20, program 3, mass participation, the flagship of the department. Of note there is the plan to assist 4,000 schools to participate in sports leagues from the 4,000, from the 15,600 that we assisted last week. So this 4,000 would have been the additional schools. However, there was lack of cooperation with CAPSITA and SASCOC to provide sports training. So this target of 4,000 teachers to be trained was never achieved in the previous year. I think I just had to highlight that as a matter of noting. I think it's also highlighted in the observations. Of course, then the cost drivers, the transfers that we saw to provinces, monies that were never surrendered back to Treasury, the overspendings that took place within this program by other provinces. You recall that this is where the donor grant takes place. So most of the monies here are transferred to provinces, and provinces therefore ought to account for their expenses. And the achievements on page 21 of the department in this program. Page 21, program 4. Thank you. Program 5, Facility Coordination. What we should also note here in this program is that the budget of this program, actually total expenditure, was an amount of 4.5 million. However, what was initially allocated to this program was 9.2 million. So during the course of the year, monies were shifted from this program to other programs. And therefore, you'd see that that environment in itself was far above what is the required amount of violence that takes place in between programs. 47% of the budget went out to other programs. However, you know, when you speak to Treasury, perhaps overall, they'd say that if the total budget of the department was not shifted above 9%, it is okay. However, what is always encouraged is that even within programs, sub-programs, budget should always be in line with the departmental programs. So it's important to know that that money was shifted. You'd recall that this is where the department provides the coordination of facility support type of. And it was in this program where they had intended to do that GIS system, which they said they had ceased with. And as a result, I'm sure the DG explained that it was expensive. And perhaps the money that was anticipated to be spent could not be spent as a result of them not pursuing that program anymore of continuing the facility audit. And instead they say we are doing what you call a facility count while pursuing other means of ensuring that the system becomes integrated into the geographic information system. But that is a mandate that they finding alternative for. And so we also move in the same manner to the two entities to see how they have spent at the bottom, South African Drug Free Sports Institute for Drug Free. On page 22 at the bottom, moving to page 23. Of course, the same concerns that the Auditor General raised about the lack of adherence to the PFMA when it comes to procurement of goods, that there was no evidence of goods procured below 500,000 without obtaining the required price quotation. So that matter is highlighted there. Administrative programs, international programs that have increased, of course, as a result of the adoption of the new water code. Doping control program spending. This is the core function of the sales. When you look at paragraph 4 on page 23, and you realize that the budget, the spending has increased by 20%. And this is a program that continues to overspend due to its nature that, you know, competition sometimes, they do random testing, and that may require additional money, and that may, because of the type of testing also that they are doing, they are very expensive to conduct. And so, hence you will see that expenditure in bills has increased as a result. And one observation there in the last paragraph that the Auditor General has made that the entity is technically insolvent. Though that was explained at length last week as to what gives effect to that. Page 24, the folks in South Africa. We're looking at their annual report 2013, 2014, how it has performed. And therefore, this would be the basis from which members would then make recommendations, observe what changes ought to be effected, and as a result, recommend. I must say that whilst the money of boxing is spent mostly on the compensation of employees, boxing has got quite a number of programs that it ought to be doing. And in the 2013-2014 financial year, there was zero achievement of objectives that were set in many of those programs. We've also seen that there was an irregular expenditure of about 924,000. So when it comes to programs, one cannot say much when it comes to boxing. However, certain things are still a work in progress. The suspensions of the CEO were highlighted also in the program. Moving to page 25. On page 25, the 2014-2015 allocation. This is what they currently have now and what they propose to be going to do. What we don't have information of is the first quarterly expenditure of boxing. We did look at the first quarterly expenditure of SRSA earlier in September already. So to see how the department is spending its money currently based on what they were given last year and how they have performed. I must say that this also is influenced by the changes that have been effected in sports administration and other respects.
They are testing. There was a note that was circulating that they disturbed the proceedings by testing both houses. Thank you.
Thank you. Page 25, any comments? 26. Largely on this part of the program, I think members would have made comments, inputs during the budget process. So if members don't mind, we can just go through this one and pass it, because already it speaks largely to the analysis that was made to the budget passed this year and the performance of the department has up to the last quarter, the first quarter of the 2014-2015. If you go to page 31, passing all those pages.
Mr. Stock.
Yes, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. And I want to apologize. Not most of the time I don't attend. Not because I'm alternate, but because of the clashing of the committees. But Chairperson, I'm trying to understand the logistic on programs, because most of the programs, since I have noticed them, they are not target. They are not target, because we have to know what target to achieve, what the department want to achieve. But it just shows that the expenditure, the adjusted, the expenditure, and adjusted, but there is nothing that says about what was the target of the department, the performance target, because they will have to know if they perform badly or good, but it needs to be indicated on our report.
With due respect, as we have said that they have been not in the committee, I will ask Udebu to reflect on our APP, because what we are asking is it's not correct that it's not there. And
within the day of the budget. We've spent the whole day and whole afternoon. So we apologize that you are on alternate. You be always not up to date. Say something, Temo.
Thank you, Mr. Stoller, for that question. What we have done in this, because it's a budget, we try to look at what are the targets, just as the money allocated, and then take our analysis from there and say, this target with this resources allocated is accessible. And if it's a question of the money, particularly on certain programs, so we know that money has been an issue. That has the outcomes or outputs of that. We also reflect that. In each of those programs, the budget itself, to start with, which is what is here on that we are working on, we did reflect on the target PEM program. You'll see that there's a page where we deal only with performance and service delivery, and not the money, the financial performance only, but there's a service delivery performance that we deal with as we go along. Five.
Okay. Honorable members, will be a little bit have a patient, but the patient say too, it must be limited. We do understand that there are alternate members, but we cannot just go that far back, because sometimes they do attend, sometimes they don't. But in the program, if they ask questions, we just reflect what we have said as a committee. I'm saying that we are not in the same age. Others, they are starting to panic that they sit here the whole day of budget presentation. So just we'll give a table and maybe a research if there's something that we've discussed as a committee on that day that we've set the whole day to clarify, not to take everything, revamped it. So we know that there are those members who are alternate, but those who have been in the committee, just a little bit of patience, but we cannot take you that far back. Thank you.
Moving to page 32. To highlight also how SAIS has I must indicate that when we started the year and we have not had an opportunity to speak to the budget of SAIS this year, and it was never tabled for us this year. The only thing that was tabled was the strategic plan. So we are yet to see how they intend to address all those areas that they have concern over, including the changes, one, of their structure and the changes that have been necessitated by the adoption of the new code, which would require an expansion of its mandate when it comes to testing. And so what we have here are the estimates that we've seen of the budget. We don't have what they have proposed to be doing in the numbers. Now, looking at all these comments of the monies and the service delivery targets that the departments and entities have proposed, what then are we saying as a committee? Of course, we've realized that been mentioned that the NSRP, which is a policy document of the department, remains a largely unfunded mandate. And so for it to be able to achieve all its objectives, there's still up to 47% of the objectives that require additional funding for it to be implemented. Whilst this others, because the first year, so you'd always want to repeat and ensure that you consolidate the gains made of the 42% that has been implemented so far. Of course, SRSA has since cost the plan, and it approximated that it will require up to 10 billion to implement it. And then the budget will reduce as it goes on to implementing more of its objectives. And the plan is intended to be rolled out for 20 years. The National Sports Education Plan for members, it was presented largely and during the Portfolio Committee strategic session, which was held in France. So the details around the plan and what ought to be funded there was presented there. Of course, we have observed that there's money up to 573 million that the department has allocated for sports and recreation. We've seen also that the budget for 2014-2015 has increased to 615, and the numbers that have been catered to there of, which is something that I must infuse here, is the 27,000 target. What we've always questioned is the money versus the output that is intended, are they making any sense? 27,000 participants with 650 million, is that cost effective? Are we making the change? Is there any need to make any more resources available or alternative ways to ensure that as many people as possible do benefit from the budget? Of course, also the renaming and the alignment of programs is one notable change that we've seen, which is more towards ensuring that the department achieves its mandate of implementing fully the National Sports Education Plan. Of course, highlighting the need to fill vacancies, the ability of federations to comply so that they keep receiving the money that they always receive. Ability of the department to ensure that they have movement of or shifting of funds on a regular basis, because if department can plan properly and realistically so, it will be able to cost its plans and such that there's little or minimal amount that is being shifted out of progress. Of course, making provision for circumstances that are beyond their control. Emphasizing the need to ensure that the DG and the department follows up with subcock regarding the report that they ought to be giving. Emphasis on the monitoring of provincial allocations and ensuring that monies that have not been spent are surrendered back to Treasury for purposes of compliance with the regulations, the DORA, that kind of DORA. And of course, noting what is happening in Mpumalanga and Northwest, which especially when it comes to states which have appointed doping control officers all over the country, except in these two provinces, to monitor that process and see that states and their provinces are able to find each other and appoint their doping control officers. Now, how has the department on page 34 and the entities performed financially versus the amount of money spent? Of course, the department managed to spend 99.9% of its budget, the 1.07 billion, and was able to implement 17% of the outputs of the NSRP. And a further 42% is still a work in progress. Of course, the challenge remains the 41% that is largely not funded. Some vacancies were filled. However, because of the expansion, more posts were created. 15 people resigned or left the department during the course of the year. It still remains that there's still a large number of posts that are still vacant, 77 posts. the establishment is at 236 posts, so it's a large number of staff that the department is still not having. Largest caution still remains mass participation. Of course, we know that the club development program has been ceased and the new pilot, a new model has been tried through a pilot program at Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal. Increased workload of sites as a result of adopting the WADA code for anti-doping may require extra resources to be able to implement it fully. And boxing still remains a challenge to manage, particularly when you look at its governance sense. So if 60% of its budget is spent on it, on the compensation of employees, programs remain underfunded, and all the shenanigans of the suspension of the CEO and so on do not make the situation any easier. So this is the part then that, based on the finances and the reports and analysis that the that we have made in this part number 6 on page 35 of committee's observation, the members can therefore make inputs on the observations, perhaps then would influence how we pose the content within the analysis, and then we can infuse that and look at those observations and recommendations. Perhaps this part I'll give it to you to, we'll come back to this part so that members can then make notable changes that need to be looked at. So when you look at page 37, all the issues that we've highlighted here within the report as outstanding issues or matters to follow up or issues of concern, we've summarized them here on page 37 to say those are issues that ought to be followed up. First one being the report that Bangkok ought to provide to the department following the money that has been transferred. Secondly, having listened to the DG in the report and also the report indicating that the club development program has been ceased and the new pilot program has been proposed or is being implemented, the strategy thereof and to see how is it going to help the department moving forward. It's a feeling of posts. These are matters that ought to be followed up. Progress report on the facility audit that was initiated in 2012. The department has indicated that they have ceased to implement the GIS system but are doing facility count. So, of course, during the start plan session, it was indicated that I think three provinces had concluded with a facility audit. And so perhaps it would be important that that information be followed up. And of course, this information influences the setting of GIS, the National Facility Plan, and the updated norms and standards in this matter. And with the reasons that have been given to halt the GIS and implement the facility audit, what then would be the revised financial implications for such? The SRSA monitoring tool for the usage of the 3%, actually it has increased to 4% allocated to sport councils. There is, within the National Sports and Education Plan, it's a commitment by the department that through the DORA grant that is transferred to provinces, the provincial confederations ought to be assisted and funded from that DORA grant with the 3% that is being indicated there. And in certain provinces, when you go on the oversight, you may realize that federations are, in fact, the provincial confederations, the so-called sports councils, are not funded through the department, or they are having challenges accessing the money. So a that is an element of program that has members that might be interested in finding out how that money is being accounted for by the departments and provincial departments, including confederations. Of importance also, members did raise during their meeting last week is action plans to address findings by the Auditor General. Since the department, since the two entities report to the department, what are the intervention strategies that would be provided there? So for us as a committee to make a follow-up and set up a meeting to see how the two entities have been assisted to address those matters. Progress regarding cooperation with the DBE on school support. Of course, this is an ongoing matter, and next week's meeting perhaps will share some more light into what is happening into the program. The program is still going on within the Department of Sports and Recreation, and the participation there of the Basic Education Department is of interest. Because members of the committee are policy makers and have an influence on how policy is shaped. To assess the operations of the memorandum of agreement that has been signed, is it effective? Is it working? Can it be revised? Are there other things that could be looked at? Plans to improve coordination of training with CAFSITA. The influence and the impact it has on the outcomes of the department cannot be overlooked. If 4,000 teachers could not be provided with training as a result of this lack of cooperation, it can create a serious backlog moving forward when it comes to implementing this mandate. Of course, the new program that has been adopted, Ministerial Sports Bursary Program, the department did indicate that there's about 28 athletes from the previous year that have been assisted. So it will be perhaps for the interest of members to know who those athletes are, where are they sitting, in which schools that have been identified. Baselines are needed to determine how many athletes who have been supported. Of course, this is from the previous program. To say, of those that were supported through the athlete support program, what has been their success that perhaps would have preempted the department to move away from supporting athletes to providing support through bursaries and ensuring that perhaps more younger and abled and potential athletes are supported. So what would have provided even a provision for that? So that baseline study that the department had promised that they have conducted would assist. But also, matter of emphasis on size should report on the newly revised organizational structure, which will include operations of WADA, include operations of the newly adopted WADA code. So those are the matters that one would have picked up from the report to say this needs to be followed up as a matter of priority when you move on into the next year. And the recommendations, I think, those I would leave for members to go through and make input on to. Thank you very much, Chair. I'll quickly go through those observations and then members would look if they fit with the wishes of the members. On technical issues, here what we look at is issues that perhaps are not solely dependent on the department complying with its own reg, but also are enabled elsewhere. Like, for instance, when you look at the implementation of the memorandum of understanding between basic education and school sport, members would say perhaps the department is complying with its part of the memorandum. There's still a slow pace of implementation when it comes to the other department of basic education, and what the impact of this would be then to the broader work of the department. This we find as a technical issue that should be noted and should cannot be there, because it has a big implications on the full implementation of NSRP, which prioritizes school sport as a flagship program. The second one is to encourage further discussions with COPTA and SALGA in relation to finding a solution around the use of the 15% MIG grant for building of sports facilities. While the budget of the department does not accommodate the building of facilities, but caters for implementation of sports program. Of course, the newly adopted structure, which now establishes the facility coordination, has included in it. It accommodates the coordination function of the MIG usage by the municipalities. It means the department has structured itself such that it's suited or it's suitable to manage MIG should it be transferred or should any need to manage it arise. So the department has done its part. It's a question of ensuring that those discussions that are leaning towards that are being brought in and they are funded so that there's a solution to that. I think on this observation also, one has included the mandate of boxing to perform its function. The AG indicated that it is exacerbated by the fact that they never wrote the regulations, the rules and regulations that governs boxing. Of course, we know that the department has indicated that they are revising that act to introduce a new act. They're going to repeal the Boxing Act to introduce the Sports Combat Bill, which should include boxing and all its related combat sports. So, pursuing the regulation while the bill is coming perhaps could be counterproductive. One should perhaps highlight here the fact that the bills ought to be processed as speedily as possible so that there's a solution, particularly to provide boxing with this mandate. Any comments on the technical observation from members?
No, honourable members, do you think that want to add on the community observation and response to technical issues?
Yeah, thanks. I've got a few to add. I'm not sure if they fall under which heading they fall under, the observations though that were made. The first one was that we said an inter-ministerial approach. So it doesn't have to be often, but it does at least have to be once a year. We can just touch base and see whether the spending in line with the schools is, let's say schools or social development, that there is there is some form of coordination. With regards to SAIDS, I made observation of the possibility of investigating us receiving some funds by fining those that are found guilty of drugs when SAIDS is undertaking their tests. With Boxing South Africa, we said that if there was an improvement in internal controls, which is covered by what we said with regards to the Auditor General, but we also said that if the Minister got got involved in terms of the SABC or any of the free-to-air channels and negotiated TV rights for boxing, that would instantly assist in making a difference in the boxing situation. And then the fifth observation, which I had made and was agreed, was on sports, we focused on the school level and we focused on the professional level. They did indicate that they're looking at a club, introducing the club level, but that there is a vacuum, you know, that people, they might excel at school, but if they don't go to university, they battle to get picked up by the system. So they're at a disadvantage if they go to the wrong school, if they can't afford to go to university. Somehow along the line, we will have to find the mechanisms to pick that, but, you know, to pick those people up.
Honourable members, can we engage, agree on the proposal? But I want that I must get a clarity on the states, on the investigation. I don't know when they are doing those anti-doping tests. What is the act of the states when they are doing that and found the kids that they are doing that? There is that proposal, but this proposal, I'm not saying it's wrong, but we need to know how the AIDS code of conduct, that what is it is saying, Honorable Strike Mpumzi.
Well, I'm largely covered in terms of the observations because we did contribute in the last meeting. With regard to the possible investigation or assistance around the TV rights, I think we should include that as an observation, particularly for PSA. The inter-ministerial interaction is a given because we need to do that. You'll see that already we are engaging with basic education. I think it's next week, if I'm not wrong. So from time to time, we have to interact with our counterparts. It can't be just at the level of ministers, but we should also take along the respective committees, even at the level of provinces. The says, I'm tempted to say, let's include it, but I thought, let's ensure that we engage them, because you will remember that we have not allocated properly their budget, so that if there are shortfalls, we see how we can assist them, because at the moment, we tend to want to do it from far. So I thought maybe it might be a good idea, but for now we should reserve it so that we have that opportunity to engage with SAIDS, particularly around their budgets. How can we assist them in terms of their shortfall? Because you remember when we engage, it is quite clear that there are shortfalls. Now, this is an innovation from their side, which we might have to look at as to what is it that they can do to ensure that they are self-sufficient, because I don't think it would be correct to take an approach that says we should just assist them, we must just put more money there, because the more you put more money, they need more money, because it means they do more tests. So it is something that is worth looking at. But I thought for now maybe we should wait for that opportunity when we engage. I think we should emphasize the need for trans development. I know that they are saying it's a pilot, but it is key, because once we don't push that there should be club development, there will be that gap, because others necessarily all go to university, and if there is no club development, But it is one component that involves community development as well. So we need to push it, because for me, it's one of our priorities as well, community development, and, in particular, tribal development. So maybe we should find a way to can indicate it as well.
No, except that I'm suspecting Mr. Bashman is not wrong, like we are from in the workshop of SAIDS, where there is a WADA code which is going to be implemented on 2016. So I'm suspecting that through the observation of the Auditor General and our good selves, we need to call. And as we're going to brief you, what was the workshop all about? It's exactly talking even about this investigation. So in order that we must know how do they do, what is their role, and then from there we'll see that do we also have a role if they do have a role of investigation and come back and report to us. So I don't think we are out of order, and we are right, but I wanted to say that they are having a code that is going to be implemented 2015. It does have all this investigation part of it. So I don't know now whether, what must we put it in our observation, or we must just say that, or we must wait that, because we have agreed that we must call these two entities. But our program needs to be adopted. That's why I'm saying that I'm not against, but I wanted to check whether, how can we put it in our observations and responses. You still want to come back? Okay.
Chair, if I may assist, I think you and I are very much on the same page that the investigation is a passive word. You know, it's saying because it would have an impact on the budget, because it's a cost center, the state is a cost center, it derives no income except for what we give them, and they never will derive an income because it's a cost center. But as you say, in terms of what SAIDS has said and what the DG has said in terms of that they're investigating different perusals and ways of maybe getting some getting funds in. If we are able to take down the expenditure of SAIDS and increase allocation elsewhere in terms of capital funding, I think it would assist all round. You know, I think SAIDS would become more self-sufficient, and I believe that SRSA would have a lot more money to ensure it goes back into the schools. For instance, one of the reluctance that SAIDS has is that schools actually lock them out. So if they could say, well, let's say a quarter of the people that they test, or 10% of the people they test, have a positive finding, and they have to repay that testing, 10% can go back to the very same schools that are keeping them out. So it's almost like an incentive for schools to allow SAIDS in. So when I use the word investigate, I'm using it very broadly, but I'm saying that this committee through innovation is finding ways in which that could be more productive. So maybe we can include it in a passive way.
Thanks, sir. I was just going to warn on the issue of the vulnerability of SAIDS. SAIDS will continue to be vulnerable, especially around issues of conducting tests inside schools. There will be parents who will continue to say, look, where did you get the permission to test my child? So the issues of your jurisdiction lies on this committee advising SAIDS what to do and fostering those bilaterals with our sister committees in Parliament to see if we can influence the South African School Act, because that's what is currently obstructing SAIDS jurisdiction-wise. But on a more broader level, because we're in DRR, the committee has to come out and it should be bold. Because challenge is that the budget is contracting. It was on 1 billion, it's 970, and yet the challenges are increasing. And we've got scattered money. We've got money in Calcita, Sports Trust. We need to have critical evaluation of certain programs such as mass participation, MIGs, USDG. So somehow there has to be a tight coordination, because if you don't, it means we still are going to have more children in prisons and more kids obese. If this contraction of the budget continues, what I was going to recommend is that Sports Trust must come and visit the committee, and people who are running in cut seat, for us to check what do they have in their coffers as we speak currently. Because we once took a resolution in this committee to say some of these agencies should have a biasness towards rural development. Now we need to scrutinize those and perhaps have some talks with the sponsors, because we have never met them. And then EUSDG lies in metros, and it's a lot of money, unlike MIG. But how many metros? I don't know. I'm not sure how many metros we have in the country. But I think it's another necessary meeting to have these facilities. Because the major problem is to have infrastructural development, sport-related facilities. So, at the modality level, the ESE department does have some few challenges, which I compliment the department this year, because they've complied, but our focus should be on more impact pathways, especially in marginalized communities. For instance, what is not coming out of the report? We've been calling for a biometric database at the national level to have a database of all our athletes, tracking their performance. Those are minor issues, but at a more impact level, I think the committee should be seized with this one, to say we are worried because the budget is contracting, and the National Sporting Protection Plan is currently not a funded sort of a policy or program currently. That will be my submission for now.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Mpumi. You know, I need to be corrected. First of all, it's still in these technical issues. I wanted to check this new program of a department that is unfunded. What do we say? We have a new program which was signed when? 2025. So it's unfunded. And then what are we going to say about that? How can we be proud that you have this? Is it NSRP? And we can own that it's our program, but an unfunded program. What are we saying? And that the strike and that the matter.
No,
well,
that one, Chair, is just that I, at the time, haven't even read the recommendations, because I thought we need to be clear that although with the limitations of the Treasury, but we need to outrightly say throughout the view that over time the National Treasury should find ways to fund the full implementation of NSRP.
Last time when we were debating, we said we must be aware that no changes can get as pressure. But I don't believe on that, as we are saying. We are
faced with problems, as we're speaking, maybe we'll be asking, I don't know, this unfunded mandate, that if it's not budgeted now, when is our financial end of March? So I wanted that we must say something, because we can't have a program that is unfunded and thinking that we have a program. We don't. Honorable Malan.
Thanks, Chair. That is exactly my sentiment. I think what we need to do, taking into consideration Pum's point, is that here we've got the sports blueprint of the country, which is an incredible plan that can change the sporting landscape. But it is currently unfunded. There is no guarantee of any funding that can get even in the short, medium-term period. And without that plan, we are actually supporting auxiliary sub-programs and plans that will not give full meaning to what is an initial plan, which without funding, it will just remain a wish list. So I think, you know, the whole sentiment that previously we can't change what has happened is maybe because, you know, we were probably not bold enough, or we were not, you know, firm enough. But I think we need to make a point that our submission is that, you know, we need to have, there needs to be immediate funding available over time. It can be structured. You know, I don't think we can ever get 10 billion in 1 year, but we can make a point that we can put a figure that for 2016-2017 financial year, for instance, that this is factored into the upcoming medium-term framework. Because otherwise, all that we will be left with is annually, the state's coffers are getting smaller and smaller. Our mandate is growing. We also have the challenge of existing entities and also provinces and local government that support the mandate of the sport, but who are not giving full meaning to that. So I think we need to make that submission. It will probably elevate the seriousness of this issue, because it will be the Department of the Portfolio Committee speaking in one voice now about the urgent need for us to fund this. But also to emphasize that this relates directly to the NDP, so it's a fully in line with the government's immediate and long-term plans. So it doesn't make sense for it to not be funded when it was approved by Cabinet. So it's not like mana will come from heaven to fund this. We have to use the existing channels to put on a good fight to make sure that there is at least immediate funding for it.
Thank you for that point. That's why this committee was saying that we want a radical transformation. If we are not radical, constructive, and we'll be leaving this committee also not having done. We've been saying 20 years down the line, there's nothing that we can say we are happy about, as the minister is saying. So I've seen in the recommendation, Honorable Strike is showing me that on page 38 in the recommendation, it is here. We need to be the committee that is always making input and enforcing that. If we have seen that we are going to have a department that are faceless, or always having a limited budget, whilst we are sitting here, we'll always ask the minister to assist us to go, if it is treasures that we need, that we must get a report from our minister. What is treasurer saying?
We have a right, Tina,
to call treasurer. If you mean to say, I've been trying to talk to treasurer, because this is norm that this sport must get so legal. And let's prioritize some of the international department of sport that we must visit, in order that we must come with a true reflection of how sport is using its social cohesion through a budget, not out of the blue. I'm happy about what we're discussing, and to make this department working on what we want in radical transformation. We cannot say those words maybe technical. We need to want tools. The only way is that we must discuss and agree upon. I'm supporting that most.
enough. I don't know, but let's be really cut. Let us call the minister and give the minister a mandate, a direct mandate, that the minister must go and speak to Treasury directly, and we should indicate it to the minister that we don't compromise on this one. I think that is the only option that we can do up to this far. I'm not sure. I'm looking at the research is looking at me, perhaps you want to add something. I don't know.
Thank you for that. I was asking to my whip that my minister did tell me as chairperson, because sometimes I call him even during night asking what is going on, why this thing is not happening. Maybe you must call him, because he reported to me that now he's engaging Treasurer, because he has got a support of this committee. I'm taking what you are saying. He must come and tell us officials how far are they. Just told me that now I'm engaging with the Treasurer. So the committee will call our minister to report on this battle. He must not be alone, and we want to support the department, because this is not about department, it's about our communities that have suffered. We are from an apartheid spot time then. Now here we are saying we are Democrats. We need to see something in our areas, not only even these towns are for ourselves. We do love them, but it's too much that they've been getting. Let's go now outside our towns, that in rural areas we must see something. So he didn't say that. I must say this is not a secret, because I was panicking about this thing. How can we have unfunded mandate? So he said to me he is engaging Treasurer. So maybe Kineto take that as a committee working to hear how far are the discussion of minister and treasurer, and we need it in the committee. But we are not going to not to say something whilst it's not yet coming. The committee, we must be vocal, and they must hear us when we're debating about this, that we're not here to play sometimes this thing of radical. I like that, because without that no one is going to move wherever they are to be radical in a constructive way. Thank you.
But I think consistent with what you've just said is that if we also want to change the herd of government, some part of government view sports, because I think there's also an attitudinal problem with regard to what sports means. It seems to be reduced to when they bring people together and celebrations and all that. But there's more to it, and that being meaning the investment in the infrastructure. But I would submit that as the first step, yes, we get the minister to engage with us and update on his engagement with Treasury. But over time also, there's a lot for Treasury to also come from him, because they can't keep judging the bullets by simply saying, money isn't there. So we give the minister the first chance, as we discussed here with the department, but we also made a commitment that we would engage socially, because I don't think they should be holding cards when they're trying to deal with this issue. And if where the coffers are is a problem, that's where I think, we also need to engage.
Can we pass the whole, where you are?
Thank you very much, members. I've made a note of the inputs that you have made, and I think even that point is highlighted there on the service delivery performance that NSRP remains an unfunded mandate. However, of course, with the additions, one would have to say that there ought to be innovative ways of ensuring that funding is given towards this mandate. If we move again to page 36, as part of the observation service delivery that Boxing SA needs to improve their performance on how they use the little financial resources they are provided with so that they are able to request more financial assistance to advance some of their programs. Of course, the portfolio committee would appreciate that there be strict time frames. This is what the members said last week. Given to the new board of SA to enable them to bring about a meaningful turnaround to the operations of the entity. And this is with regard to the regular expenditures, the red spreadsheet that was presented by the AG last week. And so this was an observation noted. On the financial performance, of course, with all this that has been said about funding, boxing, trade, with its increased mandate, and SRSA. There's one observation or sentiment that National Treasury presented at the beginning of the year that the current fiscal position does not allow any room for any additional funding towards any department. So that in itself puts the request of the department and funding of this mandate a very tight rope to walk on. However, it's not something that is impossible. It's just for noting that this was presented. And due to the budgetary constraints, Treasury encouraged departments to efficiently manage the cost pressures related to changes in the inflation rate, exchange rate, or any other factors affecting input in prices. So the portfolio committee, as a result, would urge the department to continue implementing the NSRP by prioritizing whilst other means of funding this mandate will be sought. I'm sure it captures the spirit of the members in that regard. Of course, there's a greater need to ensure that deserving federations are being supported financially and that transformation scorecard is implemented and adhered to by all those federations. Precisely because we are aware that currently the new approach towards funding is that each year the department gives a specific federation an additional amount of 10 million to advance the program. Knowing the enormous amounts of work that federations have, of course, this is a welcome amount. However, there's one thing that DG and the minister always say, that federations always come to the department to request for money. But when you ask for them to account for it, it becomes a problem. And that in itself, the legislature, or I think there's that gap in the South African Sports Act, Sports and Recreation Act, that does not provide any mechanism that provides for them to account, particularly seeing that they are NPOs. But that's another discussion for another day. And federations do that regularly. They don't want to account. However, whilst money is needed by them as implementers and of sports-related programs, there's a need to reinforce mechanisms to monitor that particular expenditure and strict regulation of how that money is spent. The department, through its grant framework, introduced this mechanism on two ways. One is to have a guaranteed grant that all federations get, and there's a conditional grant that they get as a result of adherence to certain legislation. So that second part perhaps is where regulations to be strengthened. The other observation that members made as a result of, you know, transfers and not surrendering of the money is that there's a need to monitor provincial transfers and their alignment to the NFRP, because alignment precisely because for department to always get clean audits is when money has been spent for the purposes it was meant for. And we are aware that above 50%, 55% of the departmental budget is transferred to provinces, while 27% is to the federations. Adherence to that funded mandate is important to those that have been trusted with the public funds. And so, and this mandate, of course, is given because it's aligning to the NSRP. So it's important that all those that have been assigned or provided the funding are aligned to the departmental programs, and they are able to report as such and not on any other thing that is not within or in line with the funded mandate. And so an emphasis on that alignment. We've seen the department has aligned its program. Have provincial departments done the same? Have federations aligned to the grant framework? Are they continuing to, you know, subject themselves to the framework? So those are things that perhaps as part of oversight of the committee would have to be observed throughout that period of oversight, whether it's through meetings or through site visits. That would be very critical because they are funded and there has to be an alignment with what they are funded for. And, of course, discussions that the department is currently busy with regarding the National Treasury. While the DG has indicated that there's a proposal from SALGA to have departmental staff being assigned to all municipalities to look at the participation during the IDP process, he indicated that in itself is not adequate because it will deplete, one, the staff of the department, but secondly, it is no guarantee that once plans are infused within the IDP, they will be implemented. And so hence the request to have the money transferred to the department. And so that discussion is still ongoing with the department. However, what we are saying here is that the committee will continue to support the department in its endeavor with the National Treasury to find a solution in relation to the transfer of that 15% allocation of the MAG to be administered. The explanation detail lies within the report itself, where we made that observation around how MIG and what are the discussions currently underway. And of course, in this reporting then, there are some few things that members have indicated to be included. One is that meeting with SAY so that the members can be familiar with what's the budget, what have they implemented, what have they not implemented, and what of the new structure requires additional funding, if ever there is any need for additional funding. But also the call of the minister as part of the summary of things that have been requested. If you look on page 37, those are things that one would add here. Another one is on the database around of the athletes that are within the that have been supported by the department. So that is an extra information that one would add into issues to be presented or to be followed up going into the next year. If we move to the last page then of the, I'm not sure if members want to have any input, if members want to have any input on the financial performance and the summary.
Thank
you, Honorable Chairperson. Just on a lighter note on the remark of Holy Cow, I just want to say I've got a family member that's in, and perhaps remember next time you use it, another platform, it wouldn't go down very well. Holy Cow, they worship a cow, and maybe just refrain from using words like that. Thank you.
I'm just thinking aloud because, you know, there is amateur boxing. You know, we have not engaged with them. Is it not better if we can just reflect on that? Because I think it is important that we should understand. Because at the moment, I mean, we are talking about sports, but we have never passed on Sonabo.
Yes, Sonabo.
Sonabo. My view is that we need to prioritize that. So I thought it must come in the summary of reporting request. Although I'm not sure whether this is based on concrete emails that have arisen. Yeah. But I thought we did raise it when DSA came to make a presentation, that we are of the view that it is important that we should understand Sonabo. And I know that maybe they've got a close relationship with SASCO, but I think we need to understand what is actually going
on. Thank you. Honor Abrams, did you hear me saying that these words sometimes used in the movement in a destructive way? I'm suspecting that you know how Tina used the Holy Cows. So that's why I've indicated saying that in the movement, meaning something that went, okay, you want to respond? No, just a moment, you wanted to immediately respond.
Mine was just a quick one to say that this request will be infused in line with the committee program priorities. Just as we call perhaps what we call Boxing South Africa in the next term, we should indicate that perhaps then it should be Boxing South Africa and Sanabo. Perhaps that should be the relation.
Honorable Malaba, Honorable Stole, Honorable Mpums, Person that will Honorable. I'm going to land power. There is no term, my last. He power and go to Wangalala.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for that clarity, because that comment was made in jest. It wasn't made maliciously. But on the issue of what the observations that the committee can add, I'm not quite sure whether my input would be on the recommendations or here, but I think also if we are going to be a champion of additional funding, more so for the full implementation of the National Sports and Recreation Plan, which is central to the future of sports in this country, we also need to be taking firm decisions about where available funds, whether they are little or in abundance, are not used appropriately, that, you know, there is action in that regard. So the point that the input I've made is that we also need a timeline of targets regarding how each of the entities that the AG has identified with regard to the AG's consent, that there is a timeline set to them in response to those and how they plan to address those issues going forward. Because I don't think, you know, we need to take an approach that because, for example, to use the example of say that, you know, it is an entity that is doing well enough, therefore on the issue of how they manage their resources, they should be exempt from serious scrutiny on the basis of that. I think we also need to say that regardless of whether it's a cent, a thousand, or a million, where we allocate state funds, will be thorough in our scrutiny of those so that we legitimize
our voices when we take strong when we make strong pronouncements regarding the funding for the national recreation for the national sports and recreation plan. So what I'll put to the table, Chair, would be that we put on the record with the agreement of the committee that the concerns raised by the IG, by the Auditor General with regards to the financial management concerns, that each of the entities that he has identified today, we give them a timeline which as the committee we can agree to respond to the committee with those in submission to the Auditor General. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I was looking at our committee observation and recommendation, but there is nothing that says about the radical transformation as we talk about radical transformation. There is nothing that talk about it here on sporting court, because we have to have a sentence that's talking about sporting court in the report. Another one, Chair, in summary of reporting requests, I don't know what does that mean. Sometimes if I can be educated on this one, because if you have observation and recommendation, it covers what you have been observed. But now when we talk about summary of reporting requests, because if there is any request or report, something that you want to do, they must be fall under recommendation, because it's a report of the committee.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. The timelines regarding the actions that entities ought to be implementing from the AG's recommendations, and we've highlighted them in the summary of reporting requests that should be done by April 2014. So perhaps from now on, depending on when we schedule them in the new program for the fourth term, then we would infuse things that are here based on the priorities of the committees. Basically, what this means in the summary of reporting requests, it's just to highlight, it's not necessarily, I think it's for the committee to have it somewhere on the side to say, these are the things that will be important for the committee to make a follow-up on. It's not necessarily to say just a recommendation, it's just for noting to reflect our mind. What is important, and I think what the Treasury and the Department will be concerned of, would be the recommendations that the committee makes, including their observation. This is just for matters of operation. Perhaps it could be removed out of the program, not necessarily part of the program. Thanks.
No, I thought the recommendation made by Madaki, Honorable Madaki, on the Auditor General, let's say, take it to recommendations, because it's key, yeah.
Okay.
It's key, because we can't have that teacher that we had, particularly with regard to say it. And yes, oh, yeah, okay. Let's put timeline, because those timelines that I think we should include those timelines.
Before I give Honorable Fidan and Malak, I don't want that this summary of reporting or Christmas just vanish. It has got so many things that were agreed upon, but you must have a way of talking to without this heading. I won't be pleased if it's just vanishing in our report that was going to adopt. Maybe if the problem is a sub heading, let's find what we call these things, but they are very important for us. And Dr. Firdane and Dr. Malasa.
Okay.
think what Honorable Russell has suggested is perfectly right.
What we just do to that input is, while it's reflected on number 7, we just add the clause on exact timelines, and then otherwise it's fine.
Thank you, sir. On something slightly different, page 33, the last sentence of paragraph 2, 3, 4, 5, monitoring of provincial allocations. That's the paragraph I'm talking to. The last sentence says the committee should ensure that it strengthens oversight and monitor how provinces spend their allocated funds. In the recommendations, I don't see something that specifically, except for the 3%, that specifically addresses that in a more holistic way in the recommendations. I repeat, we seem to have confined ourselves to just the 3% that should go to the federations. What would be the most appropriate time for us to craft this plan, you know, for monitoring? Because we all know the negative impact this would be having on the federations on the ground, you know, if the provinces are not performing in the way that is expected, you know, of them. And I think this my suggestion is in tune with what the Honorable Chair has just suggested, that she doesn't want these recommendations to just dissipate into thin air. We should have a concrete plan of, you know, actualizing them. Thank you.
I was looking at 32 and 33.
Yes.
No. The subtopic 4.4, concluding comments on financial service delivery performance. And then you are saying, let's look at that. We have a limitation, not 100% of doing oversight. We provinces on this. You know what? NCOP is doing what it has just put like this in this line. But let's engage on it, on what we are just saying. They will, because there's this section 76 that they do come to the NCOP and account, but it, you know, we have the right just to go and pay a visit. But I wanted that to must put into perspective what I'm trying to say.
Thank you, Chair. You're certainly right that the right limitation of the Section 76 on conducting oversight. You'll recall that during the strategic plan session as well, this was highlighted, and therefore what the committee had recommended then, including this, is to insist on one, ensuring that the department in its work of oversight over provinces does strengthen its leg of monitoring how provincial allocations are spent. The DG did indicate, and I think I highlighted it here in this report, as what are the limitations as well when it comes to them monitoring that particular leg of transferring of funds and its usage, that withholding funds, as he might have done previously, also was an illegal way, because Treasury at some point did emphasize that he ought to transfer the fund. Whether the department, provincial departments, had surrendered money or not, he ought to. It's only Treasury that can do that. So in as far as oversight is concerned, as we're going to be doing, which is very critical, I think key to us as a committee is one, to scrutinize departmental programs and make recommendations at that level, suggestions, of course, at that level, and perhaps work with sisterly legislative, provincial legislations to ensure that there's adherence and alignment to this program, and to present to them the challenges that this causes for oversight over the national department, and including the work of the committee in conducting its oversight with the national department. So there's some technical issues there that
legislative, not technical, legislative issues there that limits to what extent can the committee itself put pressure on the provincial departments and their spending. Thanks.
We're not yet in the recommendation, but you were putting it correctly, so.
Still on the recommendations. I don't know where to fit this one, because I think it's fine with number three on the provincial monitoring of the usage of the funds. But I'm also worried about the national development programs, because to me nothing tells as to how are we as the portfolio committee going to monitor the progress now of the national department in terms of our role as a committee to play oversight, whether we are going to sit here, take decisions and wait for them when they come and request for more funding and report with these papers to say we have done 1, 2, 3, when they've been doing something which I think is at our level as the portfolio committee. The reason I raised this, Chairperson, is because as we were in attendance of Lottery Hindab, the National Department of Sports and Recreation was having national indigenous games in Pretoria for some days. You will just watch television when you see the deputy minister speaking there, the minister, we are not there, we don't know, we are not invited. Hours to wait for the reports like this to say we have spent so much, this much, on this and that. So I don't see how we can ensure that we are somewhere, somehow, part of monitoring, so that when they say the money that was allocated is not enough, we can say yeah, we have noticed that because we were part of it. Sometimes to add one more, you will read from the newspapers that the National Minister of Sport and Recreation had some awards thing. You just read it from the news. You are part of the sport and recreation national. You don't know. So it's a thing that I think we need to talk about and have a way of dealing with it, because people are expecting that our role is to play in oversight, to monitor, and to have the information, because that will result when we do not know. When you read from newspapers, you begin to speak to those rumors, because nothing was recorded in this platform. Thank you, Chair.
One, I want to assist in this one. I'll give Honorable Manan. Once we were in the lottery, we were invited, and then we had to go, those who managed to have to go. Really, when we were there, we've seen that there are indigenous games which we were not aware. And right in the strategy, I had to ask UDG, and UDG explained that
he was thinking that the ministry did forward the what you call it? Invitation, but I've even said we don't want the invitation, we want the whole program of a department that we must know. With the awards, it was an invitation to the committee during the recess. The office of the house chairperson didn't allow, he said it's a constituency week. They will allow one person, which is chairperson, and I've asked the senior management that I cannot, I was alone. I wanted to say that because I've asked Chris not to go alone. Even then, they were saying that it's a recess. During recess, the members are given permission by their political parties. So I was given a chance to attend USAID and invited as chairperson. And I've said I'm not going the awards, the ones, I don't know which ones. As a staff, yes. I've said I cannot go there if I'm not going to have any role. Sometimes we do want to go there even if we don't want to have a role, but now I'll emphasize, and then when I was reading the invitation, they were saying that I will be having a role myself and the minister. So the invitation, it was like that. It went through the office. Now I'm very careful here in Parliament. When I'm invited, I would wait the office of the speaker, office of the house chairperson, and the office of my chief whip, but I'm always checking whether do I have role to play. Sometimes some of us, we don't want to go there with the money of the committee and observed, but sometimes we do want, as Honorable Mabega said, that we do want to be part, even if we're not going to do anything. Maybe we need to, one other day, not today, to discuss that. I'm worried that I've cautioned them that if I'm not going to do anything, I don't want to fly and just sit and listen. But there are those days that we need to be part. Like, for instance, we wanted the Real to be part of indigenous games, because this is about sport. And then they've apologized that the DG was not aware that the office of the minister didn't invite us. Translated to Niki, we reported to her saying that it was bad. The chiefs which were there, they left us being sport members. And we were saying, where are you going? They're saying, no, there is an event. We crossing two offices, DG and Ninis. As I'm sitting here, Ukinezo said she forwarded all the events of the department, but I'm suspecting that it's not only to know the events. We need an official invitation in order that the house chairperson must decide whether we still have money to go. But the reality that Mr. Maliga is saying, let's not to be celebrate. Let's feel this committee. It's a constructive criticism, and some of us were raised already. I'm not yet seeing that program of the ministry, Kinezo, but I've heard you saying that it was forwarded. I didn't see it. So I'm saying this is a point that as a chairperson I've taken it already. But in some instances, in some events, we do depend on your political health.
that they are allowing you during the recess that you must attend. This is just a comment. Thank you. Honorable Manana.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable members, mine, I think it's not going to be long. As we are just looking at this document, we are engaging on this document. I don't say Honorable Madika is wrong, but we do have EDG. The EDG, when he comes here, he has to account to this committee. We are here as members. We are working together. There is nothing like this one is for this one is for this party or this one is for this party. We are together. Those people, they have to account to us when they are here. We don't have to maybe to go back and mention some of the things which I take it as if the honorable members, they want maybe some of us to account on what happened last time. It was not correct, but if the DGs are here or our stakeholders are here, if they are here, they have to account to us, not each of the members that I have to say Honorable Filsane is wrong on 1, 2, 3, because we are not here to make any member to account to us. And let me just not go far. Chairperson, okay, let me just stop it there. Thanks.
Take it easy, honorable member. Take it easy. I've accounted already.
With a very, very friendly heart towards Honorable Manana, I'm trying to understand exactly what point she is driving at, or what has made her feel like making that kind of statement. It has got an inhibiting, you know, effect when one wants to raise an issue. Because it's not often that we have got the DGs, you know. I remember the last meeting I attended, we had Boxing South Africa, and there was no DG on the day. I just want to understand where she's coming from, or what effect does she want to have. Because I didn't get a sense that the honorable member was critical of any member of the committee, or the committee for that matter. Honestly, I just want to understand that. Thanks.
Manan.
I've responded in your question. And let's leave it there because I've responded. And in the future, we need to raise things that we don't understand. And
last week, OTG was here. We raised everything, and some other members were not, they were not here. This is the time now that they are here. We can assist as the question I've said, I've already account because I've raised it with the relevant offices, two of the offices. But they are not always here. Sometimes you will need to raise in order that I must call them to account. But because I've already taken your point, let's live like this. With your respect, if you will be raising this, let's close this thing. If there's any other thing that you want to raise concerning this,
Chairperson, I don't know if I sounded to be like out of order, to be out of what we are doing. Because I tried to relate my concern on the issue of monitoring the provision, as to how provinces are spending. So I to broaden to an extent of our level as national, to say we cannot only monitor to how provinces are spending, when we can't even monitor how our own department, national department, is spending. Because we can't even, we cannot be involved in their activities, so as to monitor as we continue also playing oversight. But it sounds as if I'm out of what
We are.
To give you to elaborate, because if we are doing that, I was having a concern of we are not only monitoring by going physical. I didn't want to say that in order that you must feel as if we are raising a wrong question, because the question that we are raising, I was with you in Lotus, and we were having a very concern that we were not invited. And when you raise your question, you are saying that in our recommendations, we do monitor, but we must not only monitor, not going where there are events. So I wanted to explain that. And honorable members, it can't be this committee that were arguing like this. This committee, with due respect, we do want to monitor. We do sometimes to go. We don't want sometimes to go. Even the department invited us. Sometimes we do want to go, but our protocol heads not as granting us. So you didn't raise anything wrong, honourable member. I didn't want that you must elaborate on what honourable Manana was saying. But I've said already I'm accounting on what you are asking, that it was wrong. And UDG and UE Office Minister, they do have what you are raising, that it was wrong not to be invited. That's why I'm saying I was already answered the question, the concern. We're supposed to raise concerns, but because we had a preface of on the recommendation, we are saying we must monitor. Now, I'm saying we don't monitor by going physical sometimes, but we do want to be notified. So let's close on that note, honorable members. I'm pleading. There's nothing here. Yes, please. I was saying that Udebu must finalize the recommendation. And then point four, I will be closing.
I went out. With the recommendations, it's just a question to Temoko. I agree that because we have agreed with them.
Not just table them. I want
him
to table.
Oh, okay.
Table the recommendation and put the flesh as you have been doing. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Now, if you go to page 38 of the recommendations, I must indicate that the recommendations that are tabled are presented here. In actual fact, one tries not to put so many recommendations, but limit them to those that would have a high impact at a strategic level of the departmental work, but also to ensure that the committee's work is not minimized to operations, but rather to critical issues of policy and around funding and programs of the department. So you realize that I might have left an issue that has to do with operations, which would have raised as important, simply not because undermining it, but because the impact that it has on the what should happen, I think, perhaps is captured elsewhere within the broader objectives. If you'll allow me, I'll go through them. They are only nine, just one by one. Recommendations of the committee to the Minister of Sport. First one is to allow the Minister to continue to persuade the National Treasury through finding innovative ways to fund the full implementation of the NSRP. I think a comment was made earlier to the effect that the department, and through the observation of members, should find a way of see where are the pockets of funds that are underutilized or are spent, and other ways and means to that can be used to implement funding, or that can be used to fund programs of the department. And largely concerned here
remains an unfunded mandate. So we have the opinion that even those little monies that are elsewhere, the impact that they have is that there's a bigger need of saying, let's fund the NSRP, and then all other things will be observed and to be funded there.
What is the formal way?
Can you give Utebu a right to present, and then we will be raising questions.
Okay. The second one concerns as a result of the expanded departmental staff complement is the vacancies that continue to remain unfilled. But the minister should ensure that all vacancies are filled as contained in the establishment and are funded in order to improve its capacity to implement its program. The third observation is that of that the minister should continue to monitor the usage of funds by provinces in line with the priorities of the NSRP as approved by the National Treasury. That the minister should continue to lobby the National Treasury for a transfer of the 15% MIG funds intended to build sports and recreation facilities back under the control of the department so that it can facilitate the building of those facilities with municipalities. But the minister should ensure that the facility audit be completed as a matter of agency in order to develop a proper national sport facility plan. That the minister should ensure that through the ministerial outreach program, the sports trust continues to build more facilities in rural areas. That through the minister should ensure that the entities implement the recommendations by the Auditor General and are able to avoid irregular expenditure. I think what has been stated there is that we must put a time frame by 2015. That the minister should ensure that that governance within public entities is strengthened to achieve good corporate governance in sport. That the minister should ensure that all the amendments to the legislative framework of the entities are resolved in the current financial year. So these are the recommendations. Some have been added as a result of what members added last week, so I think we can then look at them and say if we wish to remain or change. Thanks.
Honorable Strike, Honorable Sultan, Honorable Malati, this is the last presentation in our report before our process. Okay, Honorable.
No, Chair, I will be covered because when he was reading, because I was worried about one and then four, so that there must be a distinction between ourselves and the portfolio committee and the minister. But when he was reading, he inserted the minister. So it's fine. It's just that we need to ensure that there is that distinction between ourselves and the committee and the minister. So, yeah, but the way you read it, I think it should appear like that.
Thank
you, sir. Looking at the source of what I would call the evil, which is the reason why there are these recommendations, in other words, a poor administration of funds and so on. How would it be, perhaps, if we as a committee were to recommend to the department that they have a special workshop with the affected entities to make sure that there is one more time, a training on how to manage funds? If we do that, I think we would have expressed to the department our positive concern is different from a negative concern about their problems. Secondly, it would help us to achieve, would use that as leverage to achieve, you know, recommendation number one, in the sense that when the department approaches Treasury for additional funds, they would be able to say, through the recommendations of the portfolio committee, we have now jacked up the capacity of managing, you know, funds, and would then be able to support them, you know, in their request, because I know that all departments are competing for positive attention from Treasury in the context of wanting additional funding. But if we there are no concrete steps taken by the department, you know, radical, as it were, okay, to use your own language, as well as those that were expressed by our president during SONA, to show that there's a radical change towards improving the handling of funding, then perhaps there would be lacking tools to use to persuade Treasury to look positively, you know, to respond positively to the request for additional funding. It's just a thought. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Malas.
Thanks. Before I just ask questions, I just want to put it out whether it wouldn't be useful to go through a point by point of this recommendation so that input is not all over the place, because some members, including myself, have input on the first point and then the last point. So I was just like seeking, in terms of structure, would it not be best to seek input on a point by point basis so that we don't go back and forth on an issue? But I'll take your guidance on that.
You know, I'm suspecting that Utebu, when he finished number 9, he's saying that these are recommendations with others that members are contributing, but I don't have any problem because he was taking notes. Some of us have noticed that the recommendations were increased because of the contribution. I don't have any problem on that. And then I wanted that... Honorable Sultan, if there are recommendations by OAG, by the department, and then it was set as a committee on that day, our role is also to assist, and we agreed that let's call them this entity first, and then we'll take a concrete decision. What do we want to do to play a role? The first role is to call them, to tell them that we have found this to AG, and can you tell us? And then from there, as a committee, we'll discuss what is our role after this that we have. Maybe that suggestion will come then, but first and foremost, let's listen to themselves. Why are they doing this, especially these two entities? We cannot take decisions before we call them. So I'm suspecting that we need to call them, they must account, and they account because of what the situation that they are in through AG. It cannot be that it's work as usual once AG pronounce about their performance. I don't know whether I'm wrong, Honorable Members. Okay, let it. Honorable. I wanted that really when we adopting, we need to adopt what we know, what we've said and what we're not said. Sometimes the recommendation that we're thinking that by contributing we have agreed upon. So let him read the entire recommendation with our discussion, in order that we must say that add this one, we have left that one. I don't have any problem with that.
Thank you, Chair. I think, as I said earlier, I was avoiding writing a long list of recommendations for members' purpose. But however, if there are any inputs, then we'll go through them one by one. Mr. Malasi, through Chair, I think we can just start with the first one.
Thanks, Chair. I think the first one, in being consistent with the sentiment earlier that we need to be far more bolder, I think the majority, like going through them one by one, they cover the spirit, but I think we need to push for
much more of commitment, like in the first instance, to continue to persuade National Treasury through innovative ways for the full implementation of that. I think it's high time we move towards getting National Treasury to commit to funding, because this is a national government plan that's been adopted by Cabinet. It's inconsistent with the NDP, as we said. And this is not to confuse it with the parallel process that we agreed upon earlier, that the minister would brief the committee on those engagements, but to say that on the recommendation, we are moving for a commitment from Treasury, because there's been those indications that there's no funding over the medium term. I'm not sure how we can move from persuading them to zero to getting staff that are pushed for a commitment. On the issue on number,
I'm not yet getting you exactly. I'm suspecting that this number one, I'm happy because we elaborate when we want to debate, but I wanted you to tell us what you want us to put on number one. Because when we are debating in the plenars, because we are going to debate, we'll be elaborating. But I'm suspecting that point number one is our guidance. What do we want? What do we want? So maybe if you can say something, phrase something that will be besides on what is point number one. I'm hearing you elaborating as we're doing, all of us, because it was a guidance that as this committee, number one is what is written, and then to elaborate on it is one other thing. Maybe if you want to put something that you are thinking that if number one is vague, you can suggest, and then we'll be listening. I was thinking that when now we're debating on the platform, we'll be elaborating on it, but if you feel that there is a gap in number one, let's listen to you, but
I'll substitute persuade with commit, so that the Senate Commission continues to engage National Treasury to commit to funding for the full implementation of the National Flood Implementation Plan.
Any other person?
Thank you. I think one thing that one cautions here is to instruct for a minister to instruct another minister to do certain things. I think what the committee is doing is to do or give the power to the minister to do what he can do within the scope of his mandate, and leave the other responsibilities of commitment to whoever that must commit. And I think that's, in as far as exercising oversight over the department, I think that's how far we can go, to allow the minister to pass away. Well, maybe then, as the chair says, during the debate, then more explanations may come, even to instruct the minister something.
Honourable Manas, as I said to you, I was not sent official. I've said to you, the minister is committing himself to talk to the treasurer. I even said it was trying to show the lab that we must elaborate. We must not think that this thing is going to happen on its own. I even said we need to call a minister to report to us how far are the negotiations, if it's negotiations or discussions. But as I'm saying that, I'm thinking that we are persuading the National Treasurer. No commit, I don't know whether it's the same thing. I don't think so. But I'm saying that my feeling is not your feeling, and you have got a right. But I was thinking that we persuade at least it's a moderate word. I know that we are very radical in this committee, and we are not ashamed of that. So I'm suspecting, Honourable Malas, the other word that you use is very radical. Let's be moderate by persuading Lomjana.
Can I just make one last question on this so that it doesn't go on? I was basically just saying that, especially you said there is no additional funding. Like, that's the context of that input, that there is no additional funding. And the frustration is that here we've got like a very, really great plan that is unfunded. At this stage, the pronouncement, especially even in the Department of Annual Support, especially has indicated that there is no funding. So it becomes a bit a matter of dimensions in the way that my input was put. But for me to persuade when there has been an indication that there's no amount, it's hopeful. So it would be to the point that we move from an era where at least there will be engagement on the need to fund, because I don't think, I mean, on the record, the treasury seems to make a commitment for the funding, and the commitment would be we would find, it's up to the treasury to see how they can find various ways of funding. But for an expert, for the treasury, in discussions with the minister, it's not giving the minister an instruction, that's why I also put that, to say there's that parallel process which we respect, but for a more bolder issue, we prepare for a commitment to fund the program, so that we know that financially it's acknowledged in the terms of treasury allocation of resources.
Honourable members, it must not be between myself and Honourable Malaz. I want that now the door is open. We must be vibrant. Let's discuss. We are about to finish. There's no one who's supposed not to contribute like Honourable Malaz is doing and I'm doing. No one is going to be questioned. Let's discuss this point number one. Honourable Strike, Honourable Moose, Honourable Manan, Honourable Sutol, Honourable Bachman, and Moose. Honourable Strike. No, I'm just calling them, asking them that I need to contribute to.
Chairperson, well, I've been convinced by our content advisor that we should use persuade instead of commit. But the second thing that we should try to understand and put ourselves sometimes at the minister's when he interacts with that collective, because the issue of treasure fiscal, it is something that themselves, the collective, the cabinet, they shall have agreed, and that is why the chair, by indicating that he has engaged with the minister directly on this matter, that it will be done within that context. But if, for instance, we are going to want to divide them as a collective, it will be something that I won't support even myself. Although I do feel that we need to lobby all the time that the plan, national plan, because it's a cabinet decision as well, and then it was also adopted by all sporting bodies. We need to lobby all the time that it should be funded through. It's just that the mechanisms of how do we do that, it becomes a constraint, because it is only the minister who is part of that collective and who is part of the decision on the fiscal plan, because every like tomorrow when they table the medium term plan, among others there will be a fiscal plan whether there is going to be a shift or not, and once the cabinet has agreed on that. I mean, how do you, so for us is to just make noise as a committee within the constraints of what is real. So that is why I was comfortable the way that put some of those recommendations, because if you look at them, even on MIG, it's a tall order whether we win. There are views and some of these things, the constraint is that it's a collective at the same time. So I'm just bringing that caution that we need to apply our mind within that context.
Any intake?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, according to the sentence, the number one, actually there is no harm to leave it as it is. But what I will actually propose is to have a time frame. Because sometimes you see if you are pushing somebody, you must have a time frame so that whatever he's doing, you must know that at that time, thing must be implemented.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Somebody else said this is just a question of semantics. When you persuade or whether you commit. But I think maybe it's less sharp when we put it this way. To continue to persuade the National Treasury through innovative funding, through innovatives, to commit itself to funding. That's my input. To commit.
No, for Manon.
Chairperson, I think after you've already mentioned on this point, number one, that the minister must engage the national treasurer direct about this funding, that we can discuss this until first of all, staying in this one point, while if maybe we take that resolution that the minister directs, must just take this to the national treasury.
This becoming an honorable member, our research.
Sorry, thanks. I think 2 weeks ago, Epox in South Africa was here. I want us to have a way of getting into a treasure. There's a standing resolution from this COPA it's an instruction from this COPA that they were instructing the AG and treasure to go and look at how EBSA Act impacts on epoxing. Now, for us to say to treasury, how far are you with that instruction of EBSA, will give us an opportunity and a leeway to say, to smuggle and have something more. So to have an opportunity to have deliberations about this unfunding, to argue for more money for sport. If we can ask them how far are they with the instruction they were given by scope, we do have an angle on that part. Thank you.
I want to bowl, not radical this time. In discussion of a committee, you can't rule radical because you need to listen both of the members. Constructively. Let me take this opportunity saying that we are happy about number one as it is. And as I've said, that we'll call the minister to come and report to us the discussion and engagement of national treasurer
And then we do have a right, if we are not satisfied, to call a treasurer after a minister. So that's why I'm saying that we cannot lose this radicality of us, of calling, maybe either committee, I don't know whether they ever called a treasurer to say, to account, why did you say ABC minister was supporting ABC? I was seeing no harm because we are all want this to happen, but the process and procedures. So I'm pleading to the young member of this committee. I don't know whether it's you when I'm no. I'm suspecting that between the two of them, they are very young, and sometimes we need to guide against the young ones. They are more radical. One, two, they are more radical. With due respect, Honorable Malaz, I'm asking you, when I'm summarizing that, let's leave it as it is, and then time frames, they are very important. In number one. Could say Kulu Lemdana.
The issue about being young is actually a bitch of order. If she wants to give it to me, I'll take it. But as you say, no, I mean the age thing, not other stuff. I was just saying, look, I think the input made by the Honorable Musi was far more cautious, but it was a balancing effect. So I'm more persuaded to that angle than that. It's a fine middle ground between both, because persuade doesn't supersede commit. Is, you know, for the purposes of doing it in good faith. But at the same time, I don't want this to be a protracted thing on technicalities. But I thought you made a very powerful powerful balance in between, you know, persuade and commit, commit towards the end of the sentence.
I've made your ruling. Do you want to change
No, Chair, I'm not going to, not that I'm not going to. I think given the nature of the discussion that the Treasury should commit, perhaps as part of the follow-up meetings is to include when you look at the summary of reporting requests, is to include a follow-up on the engagement with Treasury by the Minister on this issue, so that as it is, it is not left as if it's an open check or blank check, but there is a nature, a mechanism in which the committee can trace the nature of the discussion with Treasury regarding that particular issue, without necessarily, because, you know, to commit, I think at some point they indicate to us that, you know, when you write or to a minister, we should be cautioned as a committee as to how we write a report, where it has a bearing on another minister. Those powers that the two ministers have. No minister can instruct others to commit or to do anything, but it's about recommending, it's about them to consider whatever inputs. However, as a committee, the only limitation I think we have is that of holding the minister accountable to pursue this mandate, as opposed to him holding his counterpart accountable to commit to a certain mandate, because it may never happen.
So,
what I was saying is that the aspect I will include in the reporting summary is the follow-up meeting with the minister to report on this matter, the engagement with the Treasury.
I am a majority member, but
the only thing that I'm thinking about, who are all wanting that we must meet some follow up your treatment and
must come and report to us, and then we'll take our stake after our minister is come and report to us.
Number two, around the filling of the vacancies, that the ministers should ensure that the vacancies within the department, the Department of Sports and Recreation filled.
What I want someone to remind me, out of that number that we have left with 78, what was the reasons that 78 are not yet filled?
Chair, just to explain to members, at the end of 2012-2013, there were about 42 vacancies. And so in the course of the year, the department lost, 2013-2014 now that is, lost 15 staff members. There were other posts that were filled in the process, not so many, I can't remember the actual number, but there are not more than 10 that were filled. Yes. So that were filled. So you'd have a situation where 7 posts were filled, 15 people left the department, and there's a new structure adopted. There's additional posts that are created as a result of that, and so the number increased to 77 posts that are vacant.
Well, the other reason that they gave us was that the approval of the organogram, that is what they kept on emphasizing. So, I mean, because we are a committee, maybe we should put a timeline there. Put a timeline, because that is what we monitor the department directly. So we can't just give them a blank check. So my take is that we can introduce a timeline. Maybe say, because at the moment, maybe first quarter, maybe say for 3 months from now. Because they should fill those posts, I mean. Without wanting to see what are the dynamics between themselves and the PSD. But that could be the timeline.
Thanks, Chair. I don't disagree with the Chief Whip. I am concerned though that one of the things that we mentioned last time, I know that there were some cases also that were, I think some of those positions, there were court cases taking place as well. In terms of what we've just done in making new headings and all that, new departments and that, before we fill those, maybe we should look at an audit of what is needed and what's not needed anymore, because basically you kind of ask yourself, what has this department been doing for a year without these 70 people? How did it still function? And if it did function, do we still need all the positions? You know, to give 3 months to fill the positions when we might just bring on 70 new people at a level 6 or higher, pay those salaries, then when we change the name, the accounting names again and redeploy, we're sitting with people in the mix that are, you know, we might not necessarily need. So I'm tempted to say that they've got it. You know, I don't need to keep on using the word audit here, because we almost seems like we're taking ourselves all back to square one. But we do have to ask the person in question that if 70 roles have not been filled in the year, and they still continued, and it's they're senior positions, how sure are they that these are the positions that they require? So to put it down in the recommendation, so that we're not criticizing, we're not taking anyone back, we want those positions filled, so we don't want to hamper the progress of getting those filled, how can we best reword it that says, let's have a time run, as the chief whip says, to make sure that we fill these positions, but that we also check, you know, we prioritize, should we say, is maybe the better word, prioritize the positions. So if it's a director that's specifically linked to what we're trying to achieve, that we prioritize that position and say that there we give like a 3-month deadline. Where it's a position maybe that doesn't require, it's not as prioritized, we could say, right, in 6 months they need to either fill that position or explain why they need that position.
Can I take members to page 16 and the last paragraph in order that we must be in the same understanding what was going on? In the past, the department had establishment of 206 funded posts. However, as a result of the newly established structure, there are currently 239 funded posts. The number of filled posts decreased from 180 in 2008-2009 to 171 in 2011-12 due to the closing of 2015 FIFA World Cup unit in the 2010-11 financial year. Do we hear that first indication? And then at the end of 2013-14 MTF period, there were 162 filled posts with 77 posts vacant. This includes the 17 newly added posts, whilst 15 staff members left the department in the same period. The portfolio committee has always recommended that the vacant post be filled as a matter of urgency in the past 3 financial years, but there has not been much improvement in this regard. Whilst he's saying that committee, but I'm guided by the FIFA staff that were added, let alone this sentence, but there has not been much improvement in this regard. Not improvement, but on your 20 FIFA, you employed more staff, and now this 15 and 17, we need to talk on that. A moratorium that the department put on filling the vacancies. There comes a moratorium whilst you have taken that added 15 staff that you have reduced to FIFA. There comes a moratorium of 1230 due to the restructuring has been reason posts were not filled and internal training that was provided to staff for internal recruitment is not filled. I wanted that let's contribute according to information that we didn't reject when Udiji was here. I'm hearing all of you, but when you read this, you need to take a decision informed by what is written here. Please, sometimes when we discuss, we forget to, like, University 7, 72, whatever. So I'm raising that. Let's not take too long. Let's contribute according on what it is this document is said. Back to you, Mr. Bergman. Now, Ms. Manana.
Just further reinforces what I'm saying. That we've gone through a process. In 2011, we decided after FIFA, this is what we need. This is what we don't need. Then there was a moratorium. Then we found that we had staff that are not suited for those positions. And there was still, the previous committee had a priority that they would fill those, that overstaffed the filling of those vacancies. So it still hasn't happened. So I'm further reinforcing what we're saying is that, one, where the whip says that we need to look at filling the priority vacancies within a specific time frame. But two, where it is not a priority, we need to investigate whether we still need those posts and why we need those posts.
Okay. The proposal is clear. One last moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
It's
fine. We can put it like that. It's just that we need to guard against trapping ourselves going forward, because if the department said this is their organogram, the one that they have changed, taking into consideration their new structure, we can put it like that, but I don't want us to trap ourselves that tomorrow when they don't perform, end up saying no, we did not support them in feeding all their pools. So I'm not sure whether the content advisor can amend that recommendation to ensure that the key priority positions should be filled as urgently as possible, and then put a take-up timeline, and then those that maybe they can do without, given that they have not filled those positions up to now. But I was just cautioning against tripping ourselves that we'll end up wanting to micromanage the department to such an extent that they end up saying no, but you are not assisting us. Because if they say we want to fill this, our work should be to say we want you to do what you said you'll do. You see, within this timeline. And then that question, we can even ask that question as part of our oversight work, because if we because sometimes the organogram, you might find that the others are going to be redundant. We must find ways to get even check whether there is no redundant staff within their full complement.
Honourable members, each department does have an organogram, and each department in their own organogram, they need to fill post. And if they are not filling post, this committee is saying that we are giving them a time frame. It can't be every year talking about vacancies which are vacant. The only thing that we must say, we must appreciate to that they must prioritize. For instance, we can't, especially that they are even having a new organogram, that now they will be employing two DGs or whatever. Yeah? So it's their own organogram. But we cannot not to say that. Let's give them time frames. They must prioritize, but in such a time, the vacancies must be filled. When ufana nomphuthumi lo ndithi mphumi sincedise mntanam udibanise as input esigamise Bergman no usondeleleni.
Okay, Chair. I think on
sorry, Chairperson, I think if we can speak on the time frame, and it must not be long, since this it was a song since we were meeting with the SRSA talking about this vacancy to be filled. And if there is no necessity for the purpose to be filled, maybe they are just overloading one of the staff members by giving, because there will be no service really. If we take maybe Bumza and he's doing the content advice job and doing the research and doing the as an administrator, piling him with maybe four jobs, which four people were supposed to take over those jobs. They won't see that there is a necessity for advertising this policy. So we must just simply say we need a deadline for this vacancy.
Our contribution for these vacancies, as well as that other years, it was this cry of not filling e vacancies. Utebuo uyabala, Umutatumalazo funa
ukusinikeza naye.
Yes. Honorable members, we all agree that about other financial years, there was this cry of vacancies. They've explained that there was a reduction due to 2010 or whatever, and they're having a new organogram, but this committee is saying that we need the time frames. They can prioritize, but the time frames, zilizwa ngamagama. You don't say time frames and you don't say when that we're expecting it must be, those vacancies must be filled. If we are saying that time frames, it can be 2016 when we are going to local government.
Chairperson, if you check at the summary of the oral voting request, there's a feeling of vacancy today. This is retained at the next quarterly meeting. They were attempting.
Full of vacant points are returned at the next quarterly meeting, January, March 2015. Sometimes trying to park. Each other.
We saying we need. Jeez, perfect. Jeff, we must be revolutionary, as you said. So, where we've been doing business as usual, and business as usual hasn't changed anything. What I've seen throughout my years in council, and I'm sure my colleague will bear me out on this, is that we see all these lovely elaborate organograms, and everyone says, "Yo, this is what we need, and this is what we're going to have." There's a two-way street here. If we're going to force every vacancy filled, they're going to put as many people into the system, and they're going to work backwards. We need to, it's not to take away, if our committee says, if the organization say they need this amount of people, it's not, I'm not saying we must say no to it. I'm not saying that you must say, no, you must try to work smarter. You must rather put two for one. But there's a very important principle here. The vacancies have not been filled. They have been there. They've been requesting the vacancies. It hasn't been because of funds. That was not the reason it was ever given to us. So, from our side, what we're going to say now, we're going to say time frames. But what are we saying different to them? Why are we not saying, if you needed these positions and you haven't filled these positions, why do you need those positions? And so we're saying, where there's a priority, fill those priorities. That's understood. But we're not, we've got to give some form of a, let's say a push, but it's being innovative, it's being revolutionary, not business as usual, to try and get them to understand that when they put down that this is what they need, it mustn't just be a wish list. It must be something that is actually needed in the organization.
Honorable Bergman, our financial year is 2015 coming March. I do take your revolutionary contribution, because it has been 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. We cannot contribute as if it was not there. But let's give this first new committee a role to play, saying if, as this committee, March 2015, that's our time frames, we are no longer want to hear about vacancies that are not filled. Let's take in that revolutionary thinking that we agree it's wrong, but it must not just happen overnight. But our overnight is March 2015. We agree that about the time frame. Let's go to number 3. Seemingly, we'll be breaking here about 5 to 6. I don't know whether you do have a lunch, because the way that we are doing, which is right, one by one, and in one by one we were adding things that we didn't add when these recommendations were given. And I even said, let's talk now, we're going back. I'm not saying you must not do, but I must tell you we'll be ending here at 5 or 6 o'clock, because we have about 9 recommendations, and maybe there are those who are not here, and we need to do a thorough work. Sometimes it's right that we don't see eye to eye, but at least I'm reminding you, I will stay until 10 o'clock. I know 12 down. I'm using 12 down meetings. 12 down meetings. I'm used on it, not sleeping, chairing the meeting until in the morning. Thank you so much, number 3.
Thank you, Chair. Monitoring the use of funds by, Minister should monitor the use of funds by provinces in line with the priorities of the NSRP as approved by the National Treasury. This is captured also in the spirit of what the DG explained earlier, particularly around the platforms, various platforms that they have, to one with the main platforms, Minister and MEC's platforms, where this information is shared with the MECs, but also the technical committee of the DG and the HODs, where they share the platforms and share the particular information around our accountability, brought about by the limitations that the National Department has over enforcing this mandate by punishing through withdrawal of funds or the lack of transformation thereof. So the way it's also put is also to put considerations around those different platforms and mechanisms of intervention, and that the minister should continue to monitor the usage of funds by provinces to ensure that they are in line with the priorities that have been funded for, you know, the NSRP as approved by the National Treasury.
Any intake, Honorable Government and Honorable Strike?
Thank you. I don't think it's as clear as the content advisor has stated, that what we said was we would try and, you know, either penalize those that cannot spend the money for which it was intended, or reward those that did spend their money or were innovative. I mean, there's mechanisms if we can, because the DG said that there are no mechanisms to, and it was up to us to try and come up with the mechanisms. But I think if we could put somewhere there to show that we're quite serious about that, you know, that when the budget goes to the municipalities, that it's spent on sports and recreation and not under clever accounting misappropriated to elsewhere.
Thanks, Chair. I think for me the sentence there is, it just needs more bite as is, because monitoring is currently happening. But I think the biggest concern for our committee is in the instances where there are those provinces that are not spending, the how part to ensure that they allocate is what it needs to address. Otherwise, it is the status quo continues. So I'm not sure what would be the exact way of capturing it, but I think there is a gap, because we already know for a fact that there are several, if not few, provinces that are not fully spending, and some not even accounting for these resources. So maybe we need to find something along the lines of ensuring regular, whether it's monthly or bi-monthly, of their activities on this funding, so that it's quite clear what we can measure, because I don't think as is currently it strengthens the current situation.
No, I mean, it's a question, Chairperson, because there is a lot of work that we must do as a committee. But here, at the juncture, we making recommendations to the minister. So I should take it that we are going to have to ensure that on provinces, we might have to have our own program that really enforces what the minister is doing, because the minister is and the department, they need to monitor this, but we need to do that to give him support. The second clarity question, maybe the content advisor will assist. Their frustration is the dollar fund. You remember their frustration more is that it looks like we might not find our way in terms of what is supposed to be transferred to the program. So maybe we might have to, as we engage, as we do interaction with some of the committees, try to find ways to can ensure that it can just be grant and provinces will decide how to use it, because the frustration is there, and that is why this frustration has continued over time. But then that's the way it is, I felt that it's fine. We must just ensure that we don't lose it as a committee. As the committee, we really need to ensure that we find that provinces should do what they are supposed to do.
Thanks, Chair. If I may just indicate, capture the inputs that have been made by members. I think this item perhaps should be in line with what Mr. Nachman has said, that the DG did indicate that there are no monitoring mechanisms. Perhaps to start first by saying the minister should ensure that they develop and strengthen the monitoring mechanisms of how provinces spend the allocated. The minister should ensure that the department develops and strengthens the monitoring mechanisms of the usage of funds by provinces in line with the NSRP as approved. So the phrase there being developing the mechanisms and strengthening those monitoring tools.
Mr. President, I was meaning that I do accept the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Was the content advisor's suggestion makes so much sense, but I want us to go back a bit. During the earlier presentation, I think it was said that the department is so frustrated with the poor performance by the provinces that they sometimes withhold funds. Now, haven't they reached a limit, as it were, within the administrative processes, you know, in terms of what they can still do? Isn't it about time to think about legislation rather than persuasive methods? Because if they've gone so far as to withhold funds and then Treasury says, no, you are breaking the law, we can't allow you to withhold funds, you know, from provinces, I think the time has come for a legislative process to be factored into the equation. Maybe we should begin to think along those lines. Thank you.
Thank you. I think already that part of legislation is covered by the Division of Revenue Act, which dictates how the funds should be administered. And what the department does is to conduct that administrative funds of ensuring transfers. And the compliance thereof, I think the DG did indicate that the compliance to the dollar, to the act, should be the function of the provincial treasury, which holds much more power to ensure that the provincial department does abide and is compliant with the dollar. And so I think as far as the minister then is concerned in this, and of course that is the debate I think members should then advance forward to say, in the midst of the translations that the DG indicated, what are then other possible ways of, you know, addressing that thing.
No, I'm aware, hence Treasury has the guts to say you're not allowed to withhold funds. Punitive measures. That's the element of legislation which I think needs to be factored in. Even if it means us engaging with the NCOP to say look into the possibility of factoring in punitive measures, because we can't have a legislative process which just provides for one way, and that is the transfer of funds. But when a public institution, like a province, you know, doesn't play its part, there must be, you know, a legislative way of managing that. Thank you.
What legislation? It needs a further discussion. Let's take that summary of your saying that let each department let it develop a mechanism. We still have a lot to be here 5 years looking at the proposed legislation as a committee in order that we must engage each other. If you don't feel bad, it's not a thrown away point. Dad.
I think you're right about the legislation part can be a long term thing, but I think to further add to that abridged version that Dewojo suggested would just be the issue of in developing that framework to also check on on the scope of possible punitive measures so that we don't duplicate stuff, because that would be an overview of approach of how the department then deals with monitoring and also taking action where there are those instances, and then maybe adding a timeline, then it should be fine.
Sometimes we don't even have a luxury of breaking at one. I don't know where did they get this. Sometimes in this parliament, the officials, they are ruling this parliament. I must say I'm very sorry, officials. We are my officials, but that proposal, it didn't come to any party to discuss and agree. We are budgeted as these members because we are here to work. So I'm sorry. 5 minutes break.
Mental exercise. Yeah, what?
The one, the normal one who holds the hand.